righteous name, your son can be edified. We come, dear Lord, because we want to continue to learn to please you. We come, dear Lord, because we, if necessary, we want to get that correction and then an instruction, Lord. You're faithful, and we understand that you're asking us to be faithful. And we're just asking, dear Lord, that each time that we come out, that it not be in vain, but that we can continue to strive and live to please you, dear Lord, being faithful. I'm asking you, dear Lord, that the lesson today, that it will accomplish what you want it to accomplish, dear Lord, and help us to be recipients that are willing, dear Lord, to be obedient to you and to receive correction and our encouragement, whatever should be, dear Lord. Just asking that you will help us. Help us, dear Lord, in our homes. Help us when we're not together. We thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Danger seen and unseen, how you keep us in the night, dear Lord. Thank you for how you've even blessed us through sicknesses and just various things. Dear Lord, I'm just asking that you will continue to be with us. And we ask these things in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. This afternoon, we're going to just look very briefly at a little bit of this text. I keep wanting to say tonight. We're going to look briefly at a text. And the text that I'm wanting to look at is Matthew, the 8th chapter. I'm going to read down through the 13th verses. I was actually thinking about this just a little bit about a week or so ago. And then I think it was, I can't remember if it was Thursday night or on last Saturday, Tim started talking about it too. But this is what I'm wanting to talk a little bit about. Dre, if you have Matthew, the 8th chapter, I'd like for you to read these about 13 verses of this. And we'll just make a few, I guess, statements about this, but we're going to just talk about it a little bit. If you'll read these few verses for me, starting at verse 1, please.
When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. And I say to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour.
We have 13 verses of text right here from this 8th chapter of Matthew. And can you hear me, Jane? And I think so often, at least what I found myself being guilty of in the past, when I would read scripture, I would feel that I'm comfortable with this in the sense that I know what it's talking about. And so when I make the statement, maybe it's because it stemmed from something that God let me realize about myself when I would look at scripture. because I had either read it and sometimes even studied about it, I felt that I was okay with it. But there is something mightily profound in the scriptures that I think if we continue to look at just historically in the scriptures, we'll find that there is a problem that seems to be resonant with man often. So before I talk a little bit about it, I do want to say what I've written here on this tiny little board behind me. It says the following: hearing what Jesus says and knowing who he is. Now, hearing what Jesus says, knowing who he is, I got two kind of verbs right there, forms of verb. The hearing, something that's received with our ears audibly, and the knowing, something that some might just relegate simply to knowing with our brain and our consciousness or whatever. But I said we have a problem sometimes when we look at this text. Jesus, being the Son of God, would often have people misrecognize or not recognize who he was and or his authority. And so there was something what Jesus would be teaching and preaching, and you have religious folk around. These religious folk, we call them scribes and Pharisees. Scribes, people who've written things, Pharisees, the ones who, some of them say they sat at Gamaliel's feet and so forth, just learning and learning and learning. And here comes that bastard son.
Yes, him.
When I say the bastard son, I'm saying because the scriptures refer to Jesus as a bastard. What am I talking about? When they said that they knew about the history of Mary being, a virgin and Joseph being a young man and then wanting to get married, it's like, okay, well, something must have happened. They didn't actually make that thing official where they were married. So she had him out of wedlock. She's like, he's a bastard. Who's his daddy? So here comes Jesus saying all these things, what they should have recognized in the scripture, and they should have recognized that Moses had prophesied about him, that Moses had prophesied he would come. And so when Jesus would begin to tell them things about who he was and who his father was and what Moses said, they did not want to hear him. So we have people who had questioned Jesus' authority in the time in which he walked the face of the earth. Another thing Jesus had done that they didn't like is he talked about their system of the temple, and he didn't praise their system of the temple because the Pharisees had added so much to it, tradition of men, instead of following the things of God. So here comes Jesus messing up the system. So when we enter into this text right here, there's some other things that's taking place in the life of Jesus. It says when he was come down, I'm back at the first verse, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Interestingly enough, you had some people who would recognize that Jesus, there's something about him. He's not an ordinary man. He's performed miracles. People are listening to him. He's given sight to some of the blind people. What is it about this man? He's not afraid of the religious people. Religious people being scribes and Pharisees. Also, there would be those who would follow Jesus because of the miracles. I'm hungry. Can I get something to eat? So you did have some of those people. But let's continue on with the text. And behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It was something about the power of Jesus that the people understood that he is able to bless me. He is able to help me. He has the power. He has the wherewithal to help me where I am. There's something about the scribes and the Pharisees that they showed their selfishness unto the people. Let me tell you something that Jesus said that we're often familiar with as we kind of hurry up and get through these verses. Because I'm thinking that you, I'm seeing you sitting there. Well, we're just going to talk. We're going to keep talking.
Whatever you leave, I'll taste it. If you leave
anything. The scribes and the Pharisees wanting to, in a certain sense, keep the thing that Jesus said. God said, he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, there's a train of thought that I'm making here. Remember the Sabbath day. You just don't do anything on the Sabbath day. I have hallowed this. This is like a commemoration to what I did back in creation.
6 days, and on the seventh day I rest, and then I tell you to rest. So that when I say the scribes and the Pharisees, they were selfish. If Jesus saw someone in need and they were physically ailing, couldn't walk, maybe they couldn't see, maybe they needed some food, and Jesus would help them heal a man's, make his hand where it looked like he couldn't do anything, he'd fix his hand, something like that. And the scribes or the Pharisees would say, you're not supposed to do that. But Jesus says, you know, there's somebody here greater than the Sabbath. Jesus wanted the people to understand, I am the one that all the prophets talked about. I am the one that Moses talked about. Now the kingdom of God is in your midst. The Son of God is in your midst. I go beyond. I supersede. I am above all that you have heard about. I am what you've been waiting for. I'm the Messiah. So when I speak with authority. When I speak, I need you to stand still, see the salvation, and do what I say. But you had a lot of religious people who thought that they already knew, but they were so full of themselves that they couldn't empty themselves out of themselves to hear the truth, to hear what Jesus was saying about their lives. Jesus could meet somebody and start going straight to the heart of the issue, the sin that was in their life, the wickedness that they might have been holding within their heart. And he basically would tell them in so many words, if you don't fix this, if you don't allow me to expose this and let you know that you are wrong, and then you change, you repent, you will die in your sins and you will be bound for hell, which lasts forever. So when I speak, you might be offended, but the offense that I speak to you is truth, and you need to accept it like good medicine that you don't want, so that you can have eternal life. But you look at who I am and what you want to hold on to, and you won't change. The leper comes to Jesus. The leprosy represented sin, because there were certain rituals that the leper would have to do. If you go back in the scriptures and you look, they would have to be quarantined. They couldn't touch people. There were different, forms of leprosy where the skin would either ooze or turn white and so forth. So you couldn't just be around. You had to be separated from the masses or the people of God. And it was a picture. When I say a picture, the Bible would use that in a sense analytically, so that when it said, if sin is in your life, we've got to deal with the sin. As we go on through this leper, he's like, you know what? I know I'm not supposed to be out here where all the people is, but I heard of a man named Jesus. He has what I need. I risk going out in public right now. There are priests that set up around the temple, but they're not right. But this man, this is the one that's healing people. This is the one that's speaking wisdom. This is the one that's not afraid. I must hear him. I'm going to hear him. Listen to how it says. And Jesus put forth, I'm in the third verse, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, did I skip something? Okay, let's go back to the second verse. It says the leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, can you make me clean? We could actually almost stop right there. The attitude, the understanding. I say, hearing what Jesus says and knowing who he is, this leper understood who Jesus was. He's got the answer. I say, stand still and see the salvation. Jesus was his salvation to deliver him from the physical ailment that he had. If we can look at the Bible and really understand it, if you look at all of the sicknesses, all of the sores, and all of the pain, it's a picture of a fallen world, a world that no longer can just continue and continue. It is corrupt. You know when Paul says that thing which is sown in corruption, it must receive incorruption. That which is sown in weakness is going to receive life. Sin brought death into the world. This man's leprosy is a picture of sin. And he went to the right place. Why didn't he go? Why didn't he go to church? I'm not saying that all churches are wrong, but there was a temple, and no doubt there were some synagogues around. Synagogues will have a certain number of people. They might not add any right there since the temple was there. But why did not he go to church where something was already established? Because it was broken. Nothing is broken in the message or the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. And it says that the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. You look at the end of Jesus' life before he went back down, he says, all power is given unto me. It's in my hands. This leper goes where he needs to, and he understands that you have the power to save me. You have the power to heal me. And when we come to seeking truth, we might have many issues, but we need to understand that this right here, this holy righteous book, has the power. It is the power unto all that believe it to save. It's a keeping power. It's to save it. Many in that day would not hear Jesus, but a leper, he made his way to him. Will you heal me, Jesus? Jesus says, I can. Will you be made clean? Listen to that third verse. Dree, would you read the third verse again?
And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean.
This is the question. Do we really want to be clean? You see, it begs the question every day. Because there's sometimes things that we naturally, when I say naturally, we want to do that's outside of the will of God. It's natural to want to do that. But when you're born from again, when you and I have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we say we give our life to him, we are telling him we understand that you are sovereign. We understand that you're over us. We understand, whether we always say it or not, that you have the power to destroy us. Matthew 10:28 says, you fear the one that can destroy the body and that can put your soul into hell. Not just the body. There is something that we need to be thinking about. Sometimes it feels like it's too much, don't it? Every day I got to think about my soul. Every day. You mean every day I got to be meticulous like that? It sometimes can almost make you get little heavy in your heart. Sometimes you think about your family, you get a little heavy in your heart. You think about things that's going on your job and it gets a little weary. Why I got to go through this? But if we look at the way this world has been ordered, we'll find that there are patterns in life. It's interesting that we don't get too upset when we need to eat physical food. Right? We don't. Sometimes we'll get upset. Like, you ever been in a seminar or a classroom, or when somebody's trying to teach, whether it's the Bible or whatever, and you get hungry, or you might have ate an apple, or you might not, you might have skipped breakfast, and you're like, dang, come on, can you hurry up and finish? I'm just hungry. Be coveting, desiring, wishing that food. And if it gets real strong, sometimes you have a picture of the food in your mind. Will we ever get to the place that we covet, desire, and can picture the Word of God and understand that it satiates? I learned that word a long time ago, and I liked it. Satiate, satisfy, be more than all that you need, because this is the bread of life. And Jesus speaks. And this is his platform. The Holy Word of God is Jesus's platform, because it's what his dad has given to us to know. He said, I can make you whole. And since you are willing to come to me, bow down to me. This is a picture of the sinner man understanding his condition, coming to God, coming and saying, will you heal me? Will you change me? This is a picture of a one that does not have a stubborn or a hardened heart. Lord have mercy. So Jesus, he touches him and he's cleansed. Listen, I'm going to skip the fourth verse. Jesus said, he gave some instruction. Don't go tell anybody and so forth. But Jesus goes to Capernaum, and I don't think I don't remember if that's a little further northward or not, but there's another point that I want to look. There's a centurion that comes to him. The centurion, I believe, I can't remember, I think he was Italian. They were under the Roman dominion. This Italian man served in the forces, the military force. I don't know how many people he had up under him, but he, like Jesus, in a limited sense, was used to telling people what should be. And when he told them what should be, since he was at the top of the hierarchical chain, you do what I say. So I don't have to pull out the whip and chain. I don't have to get my men under me to come at you with a spear, but I can. So when I say something, because you know the conditions and you know who I am, you follow me. This man who is not Hebrew, this Gentile person, just like the leper, the Bible is showing us something. It's like the ones who have my word, they don't want to come to me. But this leper, this one who shouldn't be able to come to me, this other man of another nation, he comes to me. What about my own? What about my own? The ones who frequent the four walls on what we call Sunday, the one who frequent the four walls on what we call Wednesday, they open up the book, they sing a song, but they don't want to do what I say. Many have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. I think that's Romans 10. I can't remember, but I think it's Romans 10. What up with all these people coming to Jesus? They know who he is, and they know that what he says, they have to follow it. This centurion comes to Jesus, and he has a request. He has a need, and he humbly comes to Jesus in spite of who he is in society. This man being a centurion, he could have done anything that he wanted to those Jews. You understand what I'm saying? We understand that he was a part of the systematic government that was over the Jewish people. Let's say what some call the known world. This man. But he came to Jesus because he knew he wasn't powerful enough. He knew that the Caesar that was over him, I'm going to call him the king, that was over him, couldn't help him like Jesus could. He saw something in a man called Jesus, whom we know is the Son of God and the Messiah. Do we see Jesus that way? Do we? Let's look at what it says. Dree, would you pick back up at the 5th and 6th verse? And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him.
And saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented.
Let me stop. What I do like about this centurion, many things, but this is one. He cared about the one that was under him. He cared about him. He's like, I don't know how far he traveled, but I think he might have been on a horse. Dree.
And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him.
Jesus, I'm coming. What's the man say, Dree?
The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof.
Listen to this, unless you miss it, and we're almost finished.
But speak the word only, and my servants shall be healed.
Stop. This man traveled from one place to another place. He's concerned about someone up under him. And Jesus says, I'll come. This man, I don't know if he thought like, oh, actually, I don't get this. The tone, the way this reads and the things that it doesn't seem like he think I'm going to lose time. He said, just speak. I'm not worthy to approach you. I know my status. We come to Jesus sometime like he owe us something. He already died for us. Beaten, whipped. Separated from his family, ostracized publicly, stripped naked, carrying dadgum. I forgot what you call that thing. I wish I knew how much, what you call it? The tibulum, the horizontal portion of the cross. Carrying that thing in the hot sun. Your family out there looking at, but you know, he knew he had a job to do. And this man tells Jesus, I am not, this is before the cross. This is before, he says, I'm not worthy to come to you. This man, society, speaking as far as society, he's over Jesus in the earthly realm. But Jesus, no, you're not over me. but I like your attitude. I like the humbleness. I like it because you're not full of yourself. You cannot be full of yourself. I cannot be full of myself approaching the one who has the blessing. How are you going to go to the one who can bless you like he owes you something? I wish I would have gone to my mom and daddy like they owe me something. Right. That's all. It's just right. How much more? The one who made heaven and earth. I want you to turn to Hebrews, the first chapter. Let's look at the second and the third verse. Speaking of Jesus Christ, who is Jesus? Why did the centurion see it? Why did the leper see it? And why didn't the scribes and the Pharisees see it? Because they was full of their wicked, nasty, stinking self. What does it say? Hebrews 1 and about 2.
God, who at sundry times...
She wanted to start at the first verse. Go ahead.
And in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son.
Listen. Now, what we're reading in Matthew is prior to this. In other words, it came before. But God, through this person who wrote this, I don't know who it was, said God has spoken now through his Son. What does it say, Dree?
Whom he has appointed heir of all
when things. He's heir, he controls, he's over all of this. This is his. This is his. We pretending down here. We pretending. You don't own a mountain. You don't own an island. You don't own it. You own a house and think you've done something. Look at the ants. Ain't none of us blessed better than a dadgum ant. Go up under the earth and just go where it want to. We feel like something, don't we? Read it, Dree.
Whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world.
The Bible gives us something right there. He's speaking by it. He speaks through his Son, and his Son made the world. He made the thing. Read it again, Dree. By whom also what?
By whom also he made the world.
Read a little bit more.
Who being the brightness of his glory.
He is the brightness of his glory, his magnificence, his wonder, his terribleness, his awesomeness, his all glory. Look, Jesus coming here, you don't have to say a word. He just started telling you about yourself. Ain't that scary? That's scary. He scared Peter. He said, Peter, cast your nets over there. Peter said, we've been doing this all night, Peter, cast your nets. Nevertheless, Lord, at your will, we'll do it. And then they started catching fish. Peter couldn't even get them out by himself, and the ship started to sink, looked like. Peter said, I'm scared. Get away from me. Read, Tree. I'm going to go back to Matthew in a second. Read.
Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins,
sweetness,
sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Okay, so I want to make a few statements about that. And we're going to go back to the text and wrap it up. It is amazing how that writer in Hebrews says, who, when he had purged our sins, it's like a past tense, but there's
by
some
himself.
By himself. He didn't need an angel to help him. He didn't need a Muhammad to help him. He didn't need a Hare Krishna to help him. He did not need a Pope to help him. He did not ask you and I for instructions how to help him. He didn't ask the centurion how to help him. He did not ask a leper how to help him. But when he finished by himself, he did what? Purge, cleanse, wash, rinse. Thoroughly clean. Read it.
By himself purged our sin.
Purged our sin. It's like it's done. Now, in the completion of what Christ has done, we are to live satisfied and completely perfectly in him, in that we always, always yield to him. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have some issues. You turn and you get it right. You wear some clothes. You wash the clothes. You wear some clothes. You wash the clothes. You wear some clothes. You eat your food. You poop it out. You eat your food. You poop it out. You get older year by year, but you mature so that you can eventually lay aside the easy things that would set you aside. Because you grow, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us, The easy things are not to be there forever, because we grow. We grow in righteousness in him. That's who Jesus is. That's who Jesus is. I never failed a grade, thank God. I was too embarrassed to. And some might hear this and might have failed a grade. But did you progress? Did you learn something and then move on up? We're supposed to be growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, for when the time, you ought to be teachers. This is Hebrews. I can't remember if it's 5 and 12, somewhere around there. For when the time that you ought to be able to explain, lift up, correct, and give somebody some instruction on what life is, you can't do it. You have need, just like you started, that somebody start all over with the A and the B and the C. You want them to start all over. Yes, you got gray hairs in your head. What is wrong with that picture? A grown man sucking on his mama's paps. What is wrong with that picture? This is the picture. It's time to grow up. Pap, breast. Pap, they call them paps back in the day, I think. It's the picture. Ain't this the picture?
Yes.
Some people listen and say, you speak it too hard. Look at society and tell me, has anybody spoken hard enough in the past? A few. Look at society. You got grown men, so-called, walking around in half to 2 inches of their crack or up above their underwear. You tell me that ain't holiness? Why can't they realize that they need to pull their stank drawers up, pull their pants up? You got women walking around here thinking they're going to attract somebody worth something because they got half of their bosom and their legs and stuff out. You're going to get what you asked for. And now you're talking about a Me Too movement. Me Too. I'm stupid. Me Too. I follow the same daggum thing that they tell me to do on the videos, that they tell me to do culturally. But you and I need a Jesus Christ who will get us to think from beyond right now. What we think is fun, that it's a snare, that they will entrap you, that you as a nation are falling down. And you don't have anybody that will even show respect on the job. You don't have anybody that'll show respect in the school. You don't have anybody that'll show respect in their own house. They'll kill their mama. They'll kill their daddy. They'll rape their grandmama. And you wonder what's wrong with society. And you tell me I'm preaching too hard.
No way.
Tell me I'm preaching too hard. Watch, I don't know who's on here, and I'm not trying to be prophetical, but when some of these situations happen to us, why is it then that we want to change and we want that ethical moral, what we call ethical moral thing? Let's say something, then we're going to go back to Matthew. I said we're going to try to finish it up. We need a God. We need the God of heaven and earth who rules everybody. We don't need a ruler over here and a ruler over there, and a ruler a little bit everywhere, so that they can all have their own rule, because then we have chaos. Because God, through his son, said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Look at the pluralism and see what it's doing. People play you like a fool. I whisper something in your ear, I whisper something in her ear, and I whisper something in this person's ear, and I will tell you all different things. But because you think it's coming from me, you think we unify, but I'm playing you against each other. I am playing you against each other. God don't play us against each other. He says, you better be right before me. He don't change. Isn't it good that he doesn't change? That we have some consistency and we know how to live. Some nations might in time past have reflected what seems close to God's word, but we better hold to God's unchanging hand. So we saw in Hebrews that Jesus needed nobody's help to do these things. He had his father, and he was following the line of his father. So the leper, going back to Matthew 8, I won't say he understood all that, but he understood, I need you. I've been hearing things about you. People hear things about God and Jesus Christ, and they'll run the other way looking for a piece of penny when you got a shiny silver dollar over here. That's stupid.
It is.
The analogy is that a son left his father's house where he had much and ate slop from the pigs when his father's house had good food. That's the analogy. How we fare in that analogy. So the centurion, who was very much in society a leader, and even over the Jews to a certain degree, he says, I'm unworthy to come to you. But if you speak, I know, I've been watching, I've been hearing, you have the power. He knew who Jesus was to us enough. Hearing, and then he says, if you speak. Now, if Jesus can uphold all things by the word of his power, it's Hebrews, and you can see it also in the Gospel of John. I don't know if it's around 1 and 6 or 7, but the first chapter, it tells you that, that nothing was made that was not made that he didn't make, something along those lines. So this centurion, I'm on the wrong page now, this centurion comes to him. I'm in the 7th verse, and Jesus said to him, wait, I will come and heal him. The centurion, 8th verse, answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, Jesus purged sin. This man said he'll be healed if you speak it. So it's done, but we must work within that doing. Ephesians 2 and 10. You keep talking about we're saved by grace. Yes, it's by grace, but unto what? So that you can live in sin? Forget it. Forget it. I got a Band-Aid on my wrist, but I'm going to take it off eventually, Lord willing. Keep the Band-Aid on there as an excuse that you can do what you want to. I'm saved by grace. There's nothing else for me to do. Ephesians 2 and 10. Can you read it? It said, we are saved unto good works. And listen at me plainly. I am not telling you that your works are going to save you, but it's like your garment. It shows that you are a changed individual. It shows that you want to please the Father. This is what it shows. It shows that there is a responsibility of wearing his name. What did it say?
For we are his workmanship.
We are his. Not we are our own, we are his workmanship, what?
Created in Christ Jesus.
Created now in Christ Jesus. Romans 6, read it.
Unto good works.
Your conduct, your deeds now. Read Romans 2 and 5 and 6 and 7. I have to read it. Just read it. Talking about the way you live. Now we're going back to the centurion.
But after the hardness of your impenitent heart.
Yes.
Treasures up unto thyself wrath.
He's still in Romans. If you live a wicked life, he's saying that you don't have the right attitude like the leper. He's saying that you don't have the right attitude like the centurion. Jesus is Almighty Son of God. And he says, if you're going to continue in your wickedness and your stubborn way, what did it say? You building up that gum, what you call them little blocks that children play with now. You building up a Lego kingdom that shall fall. Plastic stuff. I don't care. Make it out of wood. Make it out of steel. What tornado you have seen that can't tear it down? What to say?
Treasures up wrath unto thyself. Wrath against the day of wrath.
Against the day of wrath. What it say?
And the revelation of the righteous judgment of God.
He has revealed his son. And he wants it to be revealed in us. Make it a change in us daily so that we can show the world, read what it says, please.
Who will render to every man according to his deeds.
You're going
to
get a reward for your living, your thinking, your speaking. Now, is it that we are involved with the word of God, that it tells us, it controls us? Do you hear what Jesus says? Do you hear the word of God? Do we know who he is? Listen, the Bible says that he laid his reputation down, but it's just for a moment. Listen to how Revelation talks about him. His eyes going to be flaming like fire. He's going to kill some people, and the birds going to come, and they're going to tear those carcasses apart in gluttony and divine feasting. Yeah, they are. Yes, they are. What'd it say, Tim?
But unto them.
Now listen, no one.
Contentious.
What? Read.
But to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil of the Jew first and also of the Gentile.
The nasty word is obey. That's the nasty word. Now I'm saying that in the sense, I don't know if I'm saying exactly like Paul, but I speak as a man speak. There's the tendency within that often, or let's say occasionally, we don't want to obey, but that's what we hear. So let me say something. This is like a little detour, but I'm going to make a point. They came up with a law. I think it was affected on July 1st. And they said, you better not touch your phone. You better not let it be in your pocket. We describe it to you what using your phone is. Guess what I've done?
Use your phone.
No. I'm trying to be sure that it's not even in my pocket. Because, okay, you know they want some money. How they not go? They're going to have to enforce it. They're going to be doing some checking. Where is your phone? I said, okay, I guess I better have this thing charged so I can at least, if I get a call, I can say, people are aware now because there's a law, and you're going to have more people that will obey. You're going to still have your wicked, or I guess you can say, whatever, who's not going to do it. But there's a law, and people are made aware. It's been revealed. Why is it that people get so upset when you talk about Jesus Christ? Because it's been revealed. Same book, Romans. It said the world not going to have an excuse. Now, that's what it said. So read the what they would call that good part, that positive part.
But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good.
So worketh. So we just read out of Ephesians 2 and 10, something about working. We're right here in Romans about work. Let me say it again. We're not saying you earn your salvation, but your conduct reflects that you are a child of God. Jesus says you will know the tree by its fruit. Who is your father? He told the scribes and the Pharisees, you don't know my father. You don't know Moses, though you trying to take his seat, and you don't know me. You call me the bastard? You call me the bastard? I don't think so. You're not obeying, and you don't want to obey. You done stole the vineyard and make my father's house a den of thieves. Now, do we know? But to them that do what?
Them that seek glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God.
You get your reward. If you live righteously, you have eternal life. If you don't, you receive damnation. And we're going to go back and finish out this last few verses. A centurion comes to Jesus and he says, it's not necessary that you come to my house. I see who you are. I'm not even worthy like that. Please speak. Please speak. We got to understand that anything that God does for us, there's a blessing in it. You know, when they wanted Jesus to hurry up and raise Lazarus, Jesus was like, no. you need to know something. Oh, Lord. He says, I'm a man in the night, verse 4. I am a man under authority, and I have soldiers up under me. I say to this man, I say to that man, when I say it because of my speech and my authority, they know who I am. They just do it. Come, and he comes and to my servant and do this, and they do it. When Jesus heard this coming out of this Gentile person's heart, it says mouth, but it means his heart. The way he was thinking, Jesus said, out of the man's mouth, out of a man's heart, he speaks. This man was speaking how he believed. This man was speaking. So maybe he grew a little bit more. Cornelius grew, didn't he? He said it was of the Italian band. These people were seeing something in Jesus. He's shaking up that Roman government. This man been ostracized by his own people. They're asking us to do stuff to him, but I'm going to go to him anyway. Caesar can't help me. Yeah. Again, I don't know how much further he might have progressed or he didn't, but he said something. Jesus said, oh my goodness, I'm around my own family. I'm around church folk and they don't know who I am and they won't listen to me. Listen at this 10th verse. When Jesus heard what this man said, he marveled and said to them that followed, truly, I say unto you, I have not found this type of genuine, sincere, earnest, broken down person, faith in Israel, my own place where I'm, where I come from.
Ain't even heard it. I want you to skip to the 13th verse, Dre. Wait a minute. Do I want to read this other part? Let's read this other part. 11th verse. Jesus says, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham. He's speaking now toward the time and glory when those fathers who had gone on passing would be like together. Let's put it that way. He said, from if you look at where Israel is in the map, it looks like you got the east and the west, and Israel or Palestine looks like it looks like it's in the center of all of the nations. So he said, well, the east, we got people over there. Let's say Arabia and Mesopotamia. We got the, did I do that right? I think I switched it. Let's say the east. And then we got the west. We got over there Phoenician. If you were to go north, where you got Greece and all of these places, they said, these people are not even my own, but they hear me. People, I say, I got sheep. I got bad sheep. Bad, bad, bad. Let's go get them sheep, because the crusty ones up here in Palestine, they won't listen to me. Maybe they got wool in their ear. Maybe they got stank on their heart. They're not circumcised. They don't want to be circumcised. Don't touch me right there. It's too soft. Don't touch me right there. It's too precious. My precious. Don't touch me. And that's how we are with our hearts. Because I like to do this. Let me tell you something I thought about years ago. Maybe it's my first time saying that male member, it produces life in that heart. It produces things also. Matthew, I think the 15th chapter, somewhere around there, it talks about the things that come out of a man's heart. And it causes fornication and all this kind of stuff. So it's too precious. Don't cut that wickedness off of my heart. Listen to a man now. Don't you touch my male member. If my mama didn't do it when I didn't know what was going on, don't you do it now. That's what we tell Jesus. But it'll save us. Now, there might be some medicinal. I've read where people say it's good if you keep it. Some of you keep it if you take it off. But we're going to go beyond that because the spiritual is much more important. Better take the wickedness off. This centurion hears it. And Jesus commends him by comparing Palestine to the other parts of the world. They'll hear me, but you won't hear me. My brother went through that. He didn't tell me to say this. He went through that at a time when we wouldn't listen to him. He sounded foolish, and then it hurt too much. This is all I've dadgum known. We keep listening and keep listening. I said, okay, too much makes sense that he's saying. Why people want to not listen to what the truth is?
Let's go on. 11th verse says, Jesus says, and I said, okay, I already read that. 12th verse. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast,
shall be cast out into outer darkness.
Now listen to this. This can be confusing. Okay, now how are you talking about they're going to come sit with Abraham and all this? Then you say these children of the kingdom. He's talking about the intended, the first recipients here. First recipients. He says, okay, I come to my own. I come to my own. They were to be the children of the kingdom. But because many of them were wicked, they're really not the children of the kingdom. But if you want to wear that, I will kick your children of the kingdom wearing banner self out there into this darkness, and you will perish. But there's a true children of the kingdom. Read it again, Dre. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and how you say it?
Gnashing
of teeth. Yeah, for those who reject me. And this ends on a beautiful note. And Jesus said unto the centurion, what, Dree?
Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee.
Your actions showed me something. Your heart showed me something. You didn't even say I need to come, but you trust my words. You trust my words. You know something about me. said, what did it say again? I done lost my place. It and shall be done unto thee. And his servant
was healed
in the self same hour. Well, that's where I'm going to pretty much stop. Just wanted us to keep in mind that we have to hear the words of Jesus because of who he is. Now, if he were just an angel, Paul said, you know what? If an angel come to you and he preach any other gospel, he said, you better not listen to that. If a prophet or prophetess, a psychic can come to you with any other gospel, you better not listen to that. If your heart tells you something that's against the word of God, how you gonna know it's against the word of God? Get in it and read. Or find somebody who shows that they really want to understand and follow God. But if you go against it, you're going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm going to stop right here. And hopefully this was a nice reminder for us to continue to hear Jesus and know who he is and not just think we know, but we follow on. It's like people say of a relationship, a real relationship is that which it's active. It's active. Both interactive. Thank you. You see how you do that for me? I'm gonna start right here. So Tim, I don't know if you wanna. Okay, so we gonna stop. Are there any comments or questions or thoughts if you thought about something?
I like when you talk like Jesus about the poop. Okay. Because
thank you.
The Bible has a tendency to let us know that as glorious as we think that we are, that from the vantage point of God, we're inglorious. Mm. Jeremiah said, I'm gonna leave his dung on the ground. You mentioned in the Revelation where Jesus tells the birds to come and eat, dying. From what I understand, they have a short alimentary canal, so it doesn't take long before they defecate. And then Jesus made it, where he says, look, the thing you worry about, it ain't that much. That amounts to drought or dung, urine. What you eat, what you take in, your beer, your wine, you worried about that. You worried about will somebody wash their hand. They get a germ in their mouth, get sick. It don't contaminate their heart. So you worry about the things that are excrement or that make excrement, but the things that build your heart up, the things that build you up so that you can obtain glory, honor, immortality, you don't worry about that. So what you do, because you worry about the things that come to naught, the things you emphasize often come to naught. You want to emphasize your money, your good looks, and all of that, and you want to emphasize how good you are without God. Is that what you want to do? And Jesus is saying, all those things that you emphasize that you think are good without my directive, without my revelation, are the things that become draw. You worry about how you wash your hand, you take it in, drop. You don't worry about what somebody drink, drop. If you're a drunkard, that's different. But the things that matter, you put aside my law, my commandment, by honoring your commandment. You make the word of God of none effect. And you find that to be glorious. And so, throughout the scripture, we see God let those kind of people not only experience death, become worm food, beast food, and that which the Bible say, you're not even fit, even when you're the salt for the dunghill. Mm-hmm. The Bible is pretty graphic to let you see what you were. But we think he's saying it hard. He said it hard enough. Did you tremble? Did you quiet? Did you cry? The Bible said when Paul said it, Felix trembled, didn't it say it? Mm-hmm. And this man has some power. He trembled. What did Jeremiah do when Huldah explained what had happened? Not Jeremiah, Josiah. Your namesake. He tore his clothes. He was bent out of shape. And God said, I like that man. Because he understands what's important. Last one. Ezekiel 9. Who got spared? Those that realize everything that everybody in this society honors and lift up are the very thing that would make them mourn inside. And God said, I like them. Go mark them with a special marker. And then when I get ready to tear the other ones in sunder and make them dung food. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about and I'm not telling it right, because he called them whores. He called them all kind of whores. I ain't even going to talk about what he said in Ezekiel 23 about them. I'm not going to say it today. But the ones that sighed and mourned, he loved. That's why a lot of time I don't want to watch the news, and I watch it anyway. Not watch it, but read it. It makes me sigh and mourn.
Yeah.
I see what they're doing. There's not a child look like this safe from the eyes of these perverts and these pedophiles, and many of them in high positions of authority. So when I say he didn't say it hard enough, I don't know. I don't know how hard you can say it, Gary. As hard as Jesus said it, they killed him. If God can't break through the heart, the penitent heart, he got enough. He got plan B, which is still plan A. Treasure of wrath. I'm going to tear that tail in thunder. I love the Lord saying it like it is, because our government will do it. Go and work real against the government. If it's the government that's in power by a social order, they'll attack. One that's trying to help order, you get to do stuff. But the time will come, everything that you all see, these activists and groups, things like that, if you all live to be my age, you will see where the government one day will change and turn on them. Or where they'll get to be in power, and whenever they have a problem with the power that they've got in power, it'll kill them. Watch Venezuela. Watch Cuba. That's enough. What we need is the Lord. All my comments are encapsulated into that. He ain't say it too hard. That's what's wrong with us now. Too much bubble gum.
Is that on actually?
Uh-huh.
Is it like unmuted or? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I can hear Tim's comments well, and I enjoyed the message, and I just love it when you just.
But is that a little bit that not just that he's free, but
I like also how you brought out with regard to the centurion that he knew what his place was in the presence of Jesus, because He knew what his authority was, and he knew what his responsibility was to the people who he had authority over, but he knew that that wasn't anything compared to the authority of Jesus. And it was like, he recognized who he was, you know. He knew who Jesus was, but he knew who he was in comparison to Jesus. And that's part of knowing who Jesus is too, because when we truly know who he is, then we know that we don't have any authority compared to him. Ooh. And we behave ourselves accordingly.
Sound like that centurion brother, one of the smartest men in the Bible.
Yeah. We have to know who Jesus is when we don't physically see him. Mm-hmm. And when we physically see somebody else. Ain't that what you said, Ann? So many. What you say? Yeah, I'm like.
Yeah, it's
metaphoric. Mm-hmm. So, is there anyone else? Naomi or Josiah, did you think of something like while I was talking? Did I say anything that you didn't follow, Josiah? A word? Because I don't even think I was paying your attention. So if you raised your hand, I didn't see it. So.
Well, I was going to talk about ascribing greatness to the Lord, and it looked like you did. Mm.
A little bit above that passage, it talks about the people marveling at him because of his doctrine,
mm-hmm.
and because he spoke with authority.
Yeah, because the scribes and the Pharisees don't talk like that.
They don't talk like that. And so when you begin to sound mm-hmm. like that, and people are amazed at your doctrine, mm-hmm. then they'll understand who he is. Yeah. A lot of times we hide that because we already know. He's already told us we're going to be hated for his sake.
Yeah.
Because they hated him first. He's already told us that they would put us out mm-hmm. and cast our name out as evil. And he gave us a command to rejoice over that.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a hard saying, Jesus. That's hard. You yeah. know, when your name is cast out and you rejoice. Mm-hmm. So that authority also works in a way that you know that you're on the king of the universe side. Mm-hmm. You know that he has the real authority. You know that there will be a day of judgment when you came from on
mm-hmm.
and that there will be a reckoning and everyone will get what they deserve. And so I think it's having that doctrine, keeping his doctrine, keeping his name, and representing that authority. If we can do that,
you're
truly be children of the king.
Yes.
Yes.
And he is getting mad. Jane, did you have anything? Is there anybody who might be, I don't know if anybody's online. No. Okay. Well, we can, if there's no further discussion, we can.
What? Not really. It we'll be dealing with on Thursday, if the Lord's willing, the 69th Psalm. They'll be talking about the things that happened. Floods, the water, the mire, the injustices. Not all, but many of the injustices that can come against somebody. And that's why I thought about ascribing to the Lord greatness in the midst of the dungeon, in the mire, having to give back stuff from to people that you didn't even take. In other words, they confiscating your goods and saying that you stole it. When drunkards, the worst of the people, going to be able to make fun of you, mock you. And yet, especially when we think about Jesus, even the demons know better.
Yeah.
But stupid men, in the arrogance of their mouth and the grandioseness of their self-worth, mock it. And then he asked God to judge, to vindicate, break them down, give them what they need. I got faults, deal with my faults. But don't in no wise let me cause somebody else to fall. Don't in any wise let me cause someone to bring dishonor to you. Because it's going to be about his name. So you see throughout that psalm, he's calling God. No matter what, calling God, ascribing greatness to his name. And there's some little children, I don't know if they're dead, I don't even know how little they are. I think they're in Taiwan or whatever it is, they got caught. They played soccer in a hole.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been in there 2 weeks.
Yeah.
and the water keeps coming in the rain and they can't get out. And I've been praying for them. It's bad, but imagine being caught in your sin and the waters keep coming and you can't get out. Imagine being caught in your righteousness, but the wicked got control. And your assignment, Josiah, and your assignment, Naomi, will be Jeremiah 38, to see somebody that's caught unjustly in a pit. Can't get out. And you have to ascribe to the Lord greatness. Unless you think that because you come here and you learn the Bible, everything's going to go your way. Learn to ascribe to the Lord greatness. Mm-hmm. If you do it within yourself, it'll ooze out of your pores. It'll ooze out of your conversation. And as it continually oozes out after a while, it'll become a flow inside of your belly that'll spring to life. Believe that. You'll get known by that.
Naomi, Josiah, I always talking about God. I don't want to hear about God. Tell me what you think.
You ever heard that before, Gary? You ever heard that before, Aaron?
Yeah.
That means if you're living what you're speaking, that means you're getting there. You have to start describing to him greatness.
I don't.
I have a question for you, since you're doing a sort of a...
I wouldn't have done it if she wouldn't have asked me.
No, that's good. Is that seem to me that he's reflecting on different time periods of his life, or do they, scholars think that that's like on a particular time?
Scholars are not sure, but I know it's got a lot to do with Jesus, because it deals with when you're down and out, instead of them giving you really, they give you poison to drink.
Mm-hmm.
When I look up the word gall, it deals with poison, even vinegar, at the time when he needs comfort, when a person is sickly. They need comfort. Instead of comfort, they give him mockery.
Mm-hmm.
At a time when someone's supposed to come to his aid, they're the ones to attack. When it comes to a time when he's supposed to have justice, they get together and they mock him and make fun. And even a dead gum sorry, Nancy thinking good for nothing drunkards are making a song about it. And I'm telling you, watch government. Watch a government whenever someone is trying to take away something from them. Might not even be trying to make them righteous. But if they try to take away you confiscating all of the people's money and laying up with the children and sending people's wealth and giving it to everybody else that didn't deserve it, so you tax the people so you can continually do things like that, watch and see how people will lie and do stuff. And if you can do this to a person that's not speaking with the authority of Jesus, how much more would they want to do us? Envision yourself in the position of authority, trying to set God's law. The Lord gives us pictures to see, glimpses. No one person that I know of has been the totality of the example of Christ. I'd like to use this word that's been coming in my book. The exemplar of Christ. None of us. But we ought to be working on it. We should have a... Our path should be like the just, Jane. It should be as a shining light. That does what, Dree?
Shines more and more into perfect day.
That's right. Proverbs 4:18 was written for us to understand. Is that enough, Gary?
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm unable to teach you, you can go ahead and work with me.
You say yes.
You have to redo the question.
Was it over a period of time?
We're not sure.
Okay.
So I just went, because I know it's thrusted about Jesus. He would encompass his life. Some even I read were one, and I was shocked. But there are some that think this has to do with being in Babylon and the captivity. So they're not ascribing the title to be the title that is the Psalm of David, but that they're ascribing this to somebody that's a compiler that did it at the time when they were in Babylon. They had been in Babylon between the northern part had already gone into captivity and the Assyrian. So I don't agree with that as much as I like Adam Clark. But I think some things that have been said could be said again. This would be the prayer of people during that time. This should be our prayer. Lord, deliver us from the mire. That water of the flood, do you hear me say sometimes they're besieging us and they're besieging our mind? They got a flood of mess coming every day. They have men in drag sitting in school reading to the children. I saw an ungodly white woman, if she had been a black, I'd have said an ungodly black one, telling the children that she questioned her identity because she wanted to have sex with Jodie Foster. Now, she didn't say she wanted to have sex, but she was attracted to it. And you telling me what you're saying.
Like, what, 7 years old?
Yeah, and then you were talking about what does it mean to come out of the closet and encouraging homosexual marriages. You don't teach my child nothing. But if they were teaching your child to honor God, to honor his word, they'd probably shoot that person and get that person to lock them up. But you want to go in here, sexualize, debauch my children. And a lot of times it's our Caucasian brothers and sisters that's in the position of authority and power that do it and go to other countries and rape little boys and little girls and do it in South America. And then we that share this ethnicity, that have proclivities of our own wickedness, we join in and we lift it up and ascribe greatness to either the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, black, white, Marxism, socialism. Yeah. Treasure of wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God that will judge every man according to his work. And y'all quit making me try to preach. Mm. Ain't it, Josiah?
Well, let's, we're gonna get ready to have our communion.
You can set the compass line up naturally in your heart. Mm-hmm.